Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
If you want to remain standing for just a second, a couple of verses, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Familiar scripture to us, but just take our time and go through it again today. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And today, I want to put this title, it's just one word on this message today, regardless. And we'll talk about that as we go through these scriptures today. Let's just pray for the lesson today. Lord, thank you for your word. Let our hearts be good ground to receive it. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying today. We love you. Thank you for your great mercy, for your great love. And thank you for your salvation today, Lord. We love you, praise you. Bless all that's done now in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him one more hand clap of praise before you're seated this morning. Hallelujah. Thankful for you. You may be seated. God bless you. It's the time of year. Of course, we put this up just as this time of year because this scripture becomes so fresh again to us, people focusing on the Savior coming to the world. And with that, we think, of course, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And thinking of that as we head into the month of December, and people are, you know, even people that you may not even see in church a lot are apt to be focused a little more on Jesus and him being born. I mean, a lot of people that don't even attend church will put up nativity scenes and things like that. And somewhere, somehow, you know, it gives us an opportunity to make that connection with them, that we can tell them, you know, let me tell you what he did for me. Let me tell you about this God who loves us. And the reason for, you know, they say that's the reason for the season, and the reason for life at all is the fact that God so loved this world that he gave us his only begotten Son. And so this whole scripture lets us know the focus that God had on his most prized creation, which was humanity. He formed man in his own image. He gave him dominion in the world, put him as keeper for the garden that he had prepared, and gave to Adam a wife, and just blessed them abundantly. He loved his creation. Of course, we know there was a great fall, and Adam and Eve sinned against God and were expelled from the garden, and we're now going to be living their life in the fallen state, in the fallen world where sin and death was. We needed a Savior. We had to have somebody rescue us, somebody to save us. And when we think about scriptures, there's Old Testament scripture that tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That puts a pretty bleak forecast on our future. Because we were all born under this curse of sin, we needed someone to come get us. And even if we had not done anything that we could think of, still we were born under the curse and we needed redemption from the curse of sin. But most of us, as we grew and lived our lives, decided to try this world, to taste and see what the world had to offer, to dabble in things, to get involved in things. And unfortunately, sometimes we get addicted to things and we make mistakes, we make bad choices, we make messes. We needed a Savior in the worst way possible. And this is where God came in. And it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, not, he doesn't have mercy that's he's having to reserve, he's having to ration it out. Friend, his mercy is new every morning. The scripture says that the mercy of the Lord endures forever. It can't be used up. His mercy cannot be used up. It's going to get us into eternity. And God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And then these two words, even when we were dead in sin, even when we were doing the things we shouldn't have been doing, even when we were contrary to his word and to his ways and we're ignoring him, even when we were rebellious, all whatever it was, God quickened us, gave us life together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And that's, when I read this scripture, just that word, regardless. You know, regardless of where I was, regardless of what I'd done, regardless, the Lord loved me and the Lord saved me. He died for me even when I was dead in sins and in trespasses. But this word regardless, because sometimes people can't comprehend this great love of God, this great mercy of God. The word regardless means despite the prevailing circumstances. That's what even when, that phrase, it means regardless. Regardless of where we were, despite the prevailing circumstances, either current, it means current or existing, despite the existing circumstances that were going on in my life. When you think about that, you picture yourself, if you can remember, maybe you don't want to, but you think of yourself in the worst place that you ever were. At that time, even then, God loved you and gave himself for you. He saw that and said, still, if it was held up like a flashcard, say, would you go to the cross for him if you knew this? He'd say, yes, I would. When he saw us in all those places, he would still say, yes, I will still go to Calvary for them. They need to know that I love them. I have a great love for my creation. And even when they were dead, they need me. They need the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. They need this Savior that is going to save them from their sins. And we all of us need or still need or needed saving. Paul wrote this to Timothy. It is a faithful saying and worthy for everyone to accept that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Even Paul, as this great evangelist and pastor, a preacher that had been redeemed, he said, you need to know that this is a faithful saying. You need to understand that this is what Christ did. He came into the world to save sinners. He said, and I'm putting myself right there at the top. I am chief of sinners. But even with all I was doing, even when I was dead in my sins, his great mercy, his great love, it saved me. Paul needed Jesus just like you and I. It's great to remember today sometimes, and it seems like maybe this has been a theme on and off throughout the last couple of months that we have preached on these things, but remembering, I think even since Regeneration Weekend, that remembering that Jesus loves us and that his love for us is so great and so perfect that it can save us. It doesn't fail. It's able to keep us and able to pull us from the deepest, darkest pits, and even can save us from ourselves, because we tend to be our own worst enemies at times. Jesus would say this of himself in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came looking for those that were lost. He came to seek and save. Nobody cares about me. Nobody sees me. Nobody wants to know me. That's not true. He came to seek, and he is still seeking those that would hear his voice. He's still seeking those that would hear that knock at the door. He's still seeking so many places to come inside and to that heart and change that heart. He's still looking for the lost. because this world is still full of people who are lost. It is still full of people who need saving. And the only Savior has ever been, will ever be, is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the Savior of the world, and he came to seek and save that which was lost. And the thing is that this great, wonderful, loving Savior who offers such a beautiful salvation to us, we can't believe it because we've done so much, but it says in Psalm 136 or 139 and 16, Lord, your eyes did see my substance, even though I was unperfect. But still, even when, regardless of the prevailing circumstances in our life, he died for us. He gave himself for us. Jesus loves us. And as we enter into this time of year, you know, there's a lot of focus on the festivities. It's the gatherings. It's the presents. It's, you know, the twinkling lights, those things. And it's beautiful. This time of year is beautiful. But first and foremost, I want to remember that it's him. That we don't believe he was born on December 25th. And don't even really believe he was born in the month of December. But this is the day that was marked as a celebration of his birth. And so we remember it on this day. If we needed to know the exact date of his birth, I feel like Scripture would have gave it to us. I think we ought to remember it every day. But this time of year, it's okay to focus on that. This gives us a great opportunity as the church to tell somebody that he's more than just an infant lying in a manger, because he didn't stay in the manger. No, he left the manger and he went to the cross, but he didn't stay on the cross. He went to the tomb, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He came out and then he went away, but he's not going to stay away. He's coming back one day, and we can remind people that this little child, this Savior, God manifest in the flesh, came to give his life as a ransom to save you and I. This great loving Savior came to deliver us from sin and death. He formed us from the womb. There's no way to hide from the eyes of the Lord. You can't get away from him. He has observed you and I, all of our imperfections since the day we were born. He has watched us, and he knows exactly what we are. I've said this many times in preaching. I know I have. But just remember, he's seen every mistake, every slip-up, every time you messed up, even every intentional act of rebellion. He's seen that. He has heard every word that we spoke. He knows every thought we think. Anything that enters into our heart, he knows about it. Every idle word that we say, every place we have ever been and every place we should have never been, anything we have watched that was wrong or anything that we have listened to, there's not one single thing that Jesus does not know about us. And yet, regardless of that, regardless of all those things, he died for you and I. Why would he do that? The short answer, the simple answer, is because that's what he does. He loves people, and love gives, and love saves, and love protects, and he loves us, and that's what he does. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and save the lost. I mentioned this scripture earlier, but go back to 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. This was Paul writing. He said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, for everybody should accept this and understand this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But then look what's contained in this. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. I was a sinner, and that's why I got mercy. Not because I was good, but because I was bad, I got mercy. Because I stood by while they stoned Stephen, I got mercy. Because I was throwing people that called on the name of Jesus in jail, I got mercy. Because I was the chief of sinners, I obtained mercy. And look, he said, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He's saying, and this is what he does. He said, it happened in me for a pattern, so so I could show somebody else who says, no, I'm the chief of sinners. Well, if you are, here's what you get from God. You get mercy. You get long-suffering. You get salvation. Paul, how did it happen? What changed in your life? And Paul could tell them, this is how. There is a pattern of this salvation. There's a pattern for people to follow. There's a pattern of what will happen in their life. People think people just get saved on the fly. It's not like that. There's a pattern. That's why we have verses of Scripture like John chapter 3. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. That's what Jesus would say. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's exactly what Paul preached in Acts chapter 19 to those disciples at Ephesus when he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost? And then, well, how have you been baptized? He said, there's a pattern that you need to understand. And because you're lost and because you're in sin and because you're doing those things, that's why God is offering this up. Not because you are the best, that you're the cream of the crop, because you're number one, but because you're the bottom of the barrel. I don't mind that he scraped me from the bottom of the barrel because he's made me to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He's lifted me up above the shadow of death. He's gotten me out of places I shouldn't have been. It's all right. I don't care where he found me. I'm just glad he found me. You know, people say they don't want to, not just saying you ought to just offer up everything you ever did in your past to people, but in yourself, don't be ashamed of where God found you. Just be glad he found you. Be glad that he got a hold of you. Be glad that he showed you this pattern of how to be saved. And because it's not only about what we've done, it's about what he does. We worry so much about what I've done when we ought to be focusing on what he does. He takes what has been done and erases it, washes it away from us. That's what he does. Quit worrying about what you've done and focus on what he does. Even when we make mistakes now, we can come boldly before his throne and confess our faults, and he is faithful to forgive us of our sins. He told us, he said, pray every day and say, and Father, forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. And God is faithful to forgive us. It's not about what you've done. It's about what he does. And it's not only about what you've done. It's about what you and I need. We need a Savior. It's not only, you know, something, well, maybe I want that. No, we need a Savior. There's no way for you and I to save ourselves. We can't wash our sins away. We cannot build a tower to heaven. We can't build a ship that'll get us there. We can't slip in, sneak in, any of that stuff. The only way is through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. We need that Savior. We've got to have it. We need a way to be saved. And so that's why the Gospels are so beautiful, because when you read the Gospels, you see Jesus talking to people who nobody else wants to talk to. Their lives are a wreck. They're the outcast. But there you see Jesus. One woman, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John 4, said, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Understanding that Christ knows everything about who you are. And you can tell people, because people say, I know you. And I know what you've done. Yeah, and I met another man who knows all that I ever did. But yet he offered me living water. He didn't condemn me. He didn't shy away from me. He didn't run away. But he offered me living water. It was the Christ, the Savior of the world. And regardless of this woman's past, the prevailing circumstances in her life, the current circumstances, that she had five husbands, but the one she was with now was not her husband, even with that going on currently in her life, he offered her living water. He did not say, go get everything right in your home and come back and find me. He said, right now, today, where you are, this is what you need. You need a Savior. You have to remember that nobody, and I mean nobody, hates sin more than Jesus. That's why he went to the cross. But then you have to also remember that nobody loves people more than Jesus. And so his love for people is greater than his hate for sin. And that's why he could go and sit at the table with sinners and people that nobody else wanted anything to do with. That's why he could go and talk to Samaritans and Gentiles and lepers and devil-possessed people, because his love for people was greater than his hate for sin, because he knew he had a way to destroy sin. So you see Jesus in Scripture going to the others, the ones that people have rejected and written off, healing people, delivering people, giving hope to the sick, those that were possessed with devils, all the sinners. One woman came in to the house where Jesus was at and said, everybody in the city knew she was a sinner. Even the man that invited Jesus in said, if he really was a man of God, if he really was somebody, he would know this woman that's touching him right now is a sinner. He knew exactly who she was, and he knew exactly what she was, but he also knew that she needed a Savior. And so there's a woman in Scripture that says she was caught in the very act of sin, the very act of adultery, and they drugged this woman to him. People were cursing her, accusing her, condemning her, and she was about to be stoned, but she was nothing more than a pawn to those people. She was just someone that was being used. They wanted to trap Jesus in his words. She was expendable to them, but she was precious to him, to Jesus. And they brought her and cast down, said the law says she ought to be stoned. And, you know, many times people say, well, where's the man in this situation? Where's the guy? And sometimes they like to say, well, they probably let the guy off. But I said, he might already be dead, because Numbers says that if they're caught in the act of adultery, that both parties ought to be stoned. Maybe after they stoned him to death, they said, wait a minute, before we kill her, let's go trick Jesus. I don't know where he was. It doesn't say. But she was the one they were using. And when they brought her and put her in front of him and said, Moses said, we ought to stone her. What do you say? Oh, when mercy speaks, for his great love, that mercy and that great love opened up his mouth and began to speak. When mercy spoke, he said, you without sin cast the first stone. And from the eldest to the youngest, they began to drop their rocks and walk away. And when Jesus finally looked up, there was nobody but him and her, which is exactly how it needed to be. He needed to be able to look at her and say, where are your accusers? There are none that accuse me. And he said, neither do I condemn you. But he said, go and sin no more. He let her know, I just saved you. I just spared you. Now go live your life in the way it ought to be lived. I know what's going on. Regardless of where she was at that moment, mercy was greater than that. His love for her was greater than his hate for the sin. And he spoke mercy and was long-suffering to her and gave her an opportunity, which is exactly what he does with us. I'm thankful today for the mercy of God. I'm thankful that regardless of when I get it wrong, that Jesus, I'm thankful that he can make it right. And so regardless, when Jesus was done, she was still alive. You know that she was just anticipating the first rock. She was anticipating the pain, the anguish, and the life leaving her body. She just knew this man is a rabbi, and he's going to condemn me for what I've done, but instead, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And that's the way Jesus was in Scripture. Drunks and thieves and prostitutes, devil-possessed people, even dead people. He was always going to those who were in need. In Matthew 9, verse 11, it says, when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Thank God that Jesus will sit with publicans and sinners. I'm thankful that Jesus did not shy away from me. But when Jesus heard that, he said, they that be whole don't need a physician, but those that are sick. But go and learn what that means. I will have mercy. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. That's why the scripture tells us it is not the Lord's will that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. There's a place that he wants us to come, a place called repentance. And what gets us there? The scripture says it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, not the fear, not the trembling, not the correction, not the anger, but it is God's mercy. When you have been caught red-handed, when he's got you dead to rights, and instead of taking you out, he says, let me take you up. Let me take you. His version of taking you out is taking you out of sin, taking you out of darkness, taking you out of a lifestyle you shouldn't be living. And so when he's got every right to say, that's it, you're over with, you're done. You know, it's always been kind of funny. People say, you know, people have this image of God waiting to just strike people down when they do wrong. I said, how come we've never seen that? I know people that do wrong all the time, and I hadn't seen him knock them out. He didn't take Paul out. He didn't strike him down with lightning. Even Ahab, that wicked king in the Old Testament, he was so wicked, hated God's prophets, had a terrible wife, Jezebel, killed a man. They killed a man for his property. I mean, it was just, oh no, just stuff he was doing. And when God pronounced judgment on him, Ahab humbled himself and wept and repented. And the Lord said, you see this evil king, Ahab, how he's humbled himself and repented? He said, so I'm still going to bring it to pass, but not in his lifetime. I'm going to spare him for that. Man, I'm telling you, when repentance is so powerful, true repentance is so powerful that it can spare us and it can move us and keep us in ways that we never thought possible. And that's what the Lord is saying. I've come to call people to a place where I can touch their lives. You know, God can do all sorts of things, but it is in that repentance that he can really work with us. Because until we repent, we don't truly die. There can be no real resurrection if we don't truly die. And when we repent and we come to that place of repentance and truly die out to sin, that's where the resurrection and the life can begin to work in our life, really. I think a lot of times people have they stumble over some things because they never truly repented. They never truly died out to that old life. But when we do that, something happens. And that's what Jesus, I'm calling people to repentance. That's why he told that lady, go your way and sin no more. I'm coming to those that are in need. And so all of us were sinners. I realized that I was sick. I needed him. I was a sinner, and only Jesus could fix that. All sinners, all were sinners, all have sinned. He said we've all been concluded under that, under sin, so he could have mercy on us all. And that's it. Regardless of that, he calls us. He calls us to change. He calls us to be better. He wants us to be healed. He wants to deliver us, to give us victory. He wants to give you new life. He wants it to be better. He never said, hey, it's just going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be easy from this point on. I was talking about that with somebody this morning. I said, you know, there's this fantasy built up in people's mind that think once I come to the Lord that my life is just going to be nothing but gravy, man. It's going to be easy the rest of my life, and I'll never have another trial or test. There's no scripture for that. There's no stories in the Bible for that. Nothing. But what you will have is a Savior. What you will have is someone on your side. What you will have is access to the throne of grace. What you will have is this friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What you will have is someone who with every temptation makes a way of escape so you're able to bear it. So I remember when I first got into the church, we were at an old Christian bookstore up near Atlanta. yeah, La Vista Road is the Christian Armory. And there was a little sign hanging up in there, and there's just like words on it, but it just said, Jesus never said it would be easy. He just said it would be worth it. And that little saying hit me right then, because I just needed that. I was new in the church, and you know, you have those battles when you're new in there. And I said, that's right, you know. Sometimes it's not easy, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it to just keep living for God and keep doing what God wants us to do. So I'm thankful that God has called us to these things. Paul, this man who said he's chief of sinners, he wrote this in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. He said, for when we were yet without strength, when you don't have any strength, you just can't get things done. And he said, in this arena of saving our own selves, we had no strength. He said, we were without strength. That means we had no strength, no ability to do it. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, he's different than men. He commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, God reconciled us by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Man, God's got a plan. He wants to save us. He wants to save us. He said, if he would reconcile us while we were sinners and now we're justified by the blood. And, you know, now, don't you think now that you live for him that God's going to take the steps to make sure you can be saved? That resurrection, that from the dead, that new life, that newness of life that we have, the treasure in earthen vessels, the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of us. Friend, we will be saved by his life. Praise God. I'm so thankful we have a God who loves us. Proverbs 10 and 12 makes a great statement. But love covereth all sins. Covers all of it. Oh, you just don't know what covers all of it. You don't know what covers all of it. But I did this, covers all of it. I went there, covers all of it. It covers all sin. The love that he had, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Friend, he laid down his life for us. His love covers all sin. I don't care, regardless of where he found you, regardless of where you were, regardless of what you were thinking, regardless of what you were doing, regardless of what you are doing, he loves you, and that love covers all sin. Regardless, he died for us. Jeremiah 31 and 3, if love covers that sin, he said, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It ain't going to run out. That mercy and love, it's eternal, everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he don't grab you by the ear and twist it and start pulling you. Come on. No. He said, but with loving kindness, drawn you. I've drawn you. Everlasting. The word everlasting there means a time frame that is out of mind, past or future. Beginning of the world, always without end. That's how God loves you. You can't comprehend it. It's unthinkable. It's out of mind. But it's from the beginning of the world and always without end. It's always been there. It'll always be there. That's the love that God has for you and I. We have always been known by him. We've always been loved by him. He didn't have to learn to love us. He always loved us. We can't comprehend that because it's eternal. In eternity, you make yourself go crazy trying to think of eternity. Where did God start? He has no beginning. He's always been. But that'll make you go crazy. Sitting around trying to think of that. He had to start something. He's just always been. He's God. Praise God. His love has no equal. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He loves us and has plans for us. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That's what this Savior does for us. That's what he did for us regardless of where we were. And Jesus was not, I've said this before, this is a great quote by A.W. Tozer. He was not being punished. The cross was not to punish Jesus for anything he had done. His suffering was corrective, and it was for us, and he was willing to do that for us. That's what Jesus did, regardless of where we were. In 1 Samuel 2:8, says that God raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Takes us from the low places, out of the dust, from the dunghill, changes us from being a beggar, makes us royalty, puts us in the palaces, sets us in heavenly places is what he does, regardless of where he found us, whether it was dust or dunghill. That's what he does. We know 1 Corinthians 6, we know such were some of you. I don't have to read all that again. Such were some of you, but now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm thankful today that God moved us away from what we were to what we now are. I'm glad today that I can be a son of God, a child of the King, washed in his blood, filled with his Spirit, washed, sanctified, justified. He knows where we were and he knows where we are, but regardless of anything, any of the prevailing circumstances that are going on right now, God still wants that to change. You can stand with me. Music can come. Finish with this. Simply stated, Isaiah 45:22. The Lord said, look unto me. Let's stop searching for other avenues. Stop looking for, you know, this world today. I see it on social media. I'm only on one thing, but on Facebook especially. I started to post this the other day because the scripture says we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not by every word that comes out of the meme generator. Some people live their life by memes, really, because those meme generators are putting out stuff that it hits their emotion, their feeling. And they're looking to that to make themselves feel better and to get better. And sometimes, you know, they may have some scripture in them or something, but most of the time it's just words, something to touch the emotion. But the Lord said, look unto me. And it'll be more than feeling good. It'll be more than just getting you through to the next day. He said, if you look unto me, you can be saved. Not just a prolonging, not just making life a little easier for you right now. He said, look unto me and get the full package. Be saved. And he said, this for everybody, all ends of the earth. For I am God. And that means there's nobody that can save you but God. And there is none else. There's no other avenue. There's no other path to enlightenment. Friend, it's God or not. It's got to be him. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. I'm the only Savior. There is none else. And he says that to us knowing what we're at, knowing what we're doing. He don't have to talk to saved. He's not saying that to saved people. He's saying that to people who need to be saved. So regardless, despite the prevailing circumstance in my life right now, no matter what's happening, no matter how I'm struggling, regardless of what I'm going through right now, it doesn't change the fact that he loves me, that he cares about me, and that he wants to save me. We all need saving because he is God. And most of all, just simply because he loves us. That's the God we serve today. Could we lift our hands to him this morning and just love him back? Let's just give him some love back today. Let's just adore and worship him for just a moment. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you for that great love wherewith you loved us. Even when we were sinners, regardless, Lord, of our circumstances, regardless of our past or even our present, God, you still love us. Thank you today, God. Let us hear that. Let us stand strong in that today, God. Let us believe that today above everything, God. Hallelujah, Lord. And as this world turns its focus, Lord, to the time that you came to this earth, let us be ready to remind people that they can experience this great love and have this great salvation. We thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you did today. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. God's good. God's good. So you just remember that word, regardless, even when. That's what it translates to. Regardless. Regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what anybody else thinks, God loves you and cares about you.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.